pursue peace. Pursue peace with everyone. Pursue peace. It sounds almost like a cliche. It almost sounds like a slogan, pursue peace. You could see it on banners at political rallies, pursue peace. Sounds like a wonderful proclamation. It is indeed a wonderful command. Peace, the end of againstness. The Hebrew word that lays behind the Greek word here is shalom. And shalom means true, total, and complete peace. The end of conflict, the end of againstness, the end of fighting. Peace. And it's not just toleration. Some people think of it as toleration. It's not toleration. It's far beyond that. It's accepting and embracing. Even where there are differences, it's recognizing that those differences need not divide us. That we can be one and be ourselves. That we can be one and yet have our own understanding and our own opinions and our own approach. We can be one and yet diverse. The concept of shalom is an encompassing concept. Same in Greek, eirene, the Greek word here. It means to end againstness, to bring it to completion, to do away with it, to wipe it out so there are no more divisions. We may be different, but we are one. We may have different opinions and ideas, but we are one together. Pursue peace. That word, that verb, pursue, it's a powerful verb here. Look at the part of speech that it is. It's a plural, present, active, imperative. What's an imperative? Haley? What's an imperative? What does it mean? No idea? It means you must. It's a command. It's the imperative. You must do this. You have no choice but to do this. It is a command. It is an order. Thou shalt do it. The imperative. It's in the imperative case. And it's the active imperative. You must do this. And not only is it the active imperative, but it's the plural active imperative. Not you must do this, but good Southern Hebrew here, y'all must do this. All y'all, even more so. Or as our Yankee friends would say, use guys. Y'all must do this. Y'all must, I just love that, y'all must. There were lots of people from all over the world on this ship that I was on. Some were from the north, some were from the west, some were from Europe. And I don't think I have an accent, or not much of one. But they thought I had an accent, and especially in my use of the second person plural in the conjugation. You know, I, you, he, she, it. We, y'all, they. I mean, come on. All y'all. Y'all pursue peace. First of all, this isn't a singular, it's plural. It's for all of us. We are called to pursue. Means chase after, actively seek, strive to implement, work to put into place. Pursue. We are called to pursue peace, inclusiveness, welcoming, the end of againstness, the end of division and strife with each other and with God. We're called to pursue actively and imperatively. It's a command. In other words, it's not, well, if you want to do it, if you want to pursue peace, you're welcome to try. No. It's not if you want to, it's you must. And there is no try. My favorite philosopher from the 70s and 80s was Yoda from Star Wars. Luke Skywalker's X-Wing had sunk into the bog in Dagobah, and he wanted to get it out, and Yoda told him just, you know, use the Force and lift it out of the water and put it on the land. Huh, I'll give it a try, he says. And Yoda says, no, no, no. There is no try. There is only do or not do. That's what we have here. There is no try on pursuing peace. You do it or you don't. And the imperative calls us to do it. And it's not some choice. We must do it. And it's all of us, not just some of us. Well, maybe if we all have to pursue peace, okay. But can we choose who we get to pursue peace with? I mean, I don't mind pursuing peace over here with Faye. But must I really pursue peace with Wanda? Yes. All y'all, all of us, we must pursue peace with Wanda. With everybody. It says this, point blank. Pursue peace with everyone. Now, who's not included in everyone? Even Wanda's included in everyone. Aren't you? Uh-huh. Everyone. All of us, everyone, all y'all, pursue peace with everyone. And who's not included in everyone? Oh, my brothers and sisters. Some people say this is kind of like the core of the gospel, the calling to pursue peace with everybody. You better believe it. And we can do it because Christ Jesus made it possible. All y'all, pursue peace. Pursue the end of againstness. Shalom, Arene. With every one. Well, that's a tall order, Greg. I mean, that's a tall order. Margaret, your husband, Bill, he likes to go out in October and shoot Bambi and Thumper and their relatives, right? Now, I'm sorry. I love Bill, I think, but that just pushes it to the edge. So, you know, I'm not going to pursue peace with Bill until he stops shooting Bambi and Thumper and their relatives, okay? Oh, she agrees, actually. That's not shalom and that's not Irene, friends. The command is clear. The imperative is clear. Pursue peace, even with Bill when he shoots Bambi and Thumper and the relatives. Especially if I can get some of that venison chili. The imperative, inclusive and plural, we are all called to strive, to seek after, to pursue the end of againstness, the end of conflict, the end of separation and division, the end of all the isms, the end of division with God and with each other. We're called to pursue peace with everyone. We don't get to choose who we share peace with. We're called to share the peace of God, to pursue peace with everyone. Now, it would be good if I just quit right there. I mean, the author of Hebrews should have just quit right there. That's a tall enough order as it is. That's enough for one day. Come on, let's just quit. No, sorry, we're not even done with the sentence. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. Oh, darn. Holiness. Ugh. Take lots of pictures on my trips. And several years ago, I had some friends. We were on a cruise together, and we took some photographs of our dinner time together. And on the table in front of me were a whole lot of wine glasses. Now, they weren't all mine. All right. One of them was. And I got an email from someone who listens to me who said, Brother Greg, and I knew I was in trouble right then and there. Brother Greg, that wine glass in front of you in that picture destroyed your holiness for me. Well, I could show him passages in the Bible. Jesus, Holy Communion, picks up a cup of wine, shares it with his friends. His understanding of holiness, my friends, is screwed up. What is it? What is holiness? Agiasmos in Greek. What does it mean? It means to be committed or dedicated to God. It means to be consecrated to God, to be placed on the altar for the use of the deity. It means to belong to God. It's not some caricatured, self-righteous, remember the church lady from Saturday Night Live? Yeah, it's special. No, that's not holiness. Holiness is being dedicated to God and becoming God's instrument, a tool for the use of the divine, to be set apart for the use of God. That's what agiasmos means. That's what it means to be made holy. It means to be set apart for the use of God, to be God's precious possession, an instrument for others. That's how it works here. Pursue peace with everyone and the holiness, the instrumentality, the state of being a tool for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pursue peace with everyone and the instrumentality without which no one will see the Lord. We are called to pursue shalom, peace with all, to welcome all into the family of God without division, without exception. We're called to proclaim the end of God's againstness, because God isn't against us anymore. And the end of againstness between sister and brother and brother and brother and sister and family and friend, enemy and enemy. We're called to proclaim the good news of the shalom, the reine, the peace of God for all, and to become dedicated, consecrated, set apart instruments through which this good news, this grace, this proclamation can be heard and received so that all may see God. See to it. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God. Well, right there, you got a little bit of a translation problem. Fails to obtain the grace of God. To obtain has been added by the translator. It's rather weak. The actual reading should be something more like, see to it that no one fails in receiving the grace, the unearned, undeserved love and favor of God. And the interesting point is that that little phrase where it says, see to it that no one fails, see to it, it actually is rooted in the Greek word episkopontes, episkopos, the word from which we get bishop. It means to shepherd or to guide or to superintend or to take care of and to guide and to shepherd. See to it. Through your being an instrument of God's peace, see to it that no one fails to receive the grace of God. To obtain puts it into more of like an active nature. And quite frankly, when it comes to receiving grace, we are passive. When we come to the table of the Lord, yes, we present ourselves before the table of the Lord. We present ourselves before God and we put out our hands and receive the elements. We put out our hands and receive the bread. It is placed into our hands. We receive it passively. God's grace comes to us, not because of any work of ours, but because we are simply available to become His instrument, to become the instrument of God's grace and peace. We put out our hands and make an outward and visible and experiential event here at the table, an experience of the grace of God, receiving it, receiving the elements, receiving the presence and the grace of God. We then become an instrument to serve that grace, to serve that peace, with others, with everyone. That no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and through it, many become defiled. Oh boy. Roots of bitterness springing up and causing trouble. We see it all the time. We see it in families. We see it in friendships. We see it in the church. These roots of bitterness, they spring up when we fail to superintend our sisters and brothers and partake of the means of grace, hear the word proclaimed, pray, attend worship, attend communion. When we fail to superintend ourselves and others, the grace is not received. And bitterness and division and strife rise up. Throughout Scripture, this theme is repeated again and again. We hear it again and again in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in John, in the letters of Paul, in the letters of John, in the letters of Peter. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the New Testament, we hear this proclamation, pursue peace. Shalom, Arene. Pursue peace and share it with others as a holy instrument of the gospel. It's a message that we hear throughout Scripture. It's a message we are called to live, proclaim, and share with all. And there is no try. There is only the do. It's the imperative, the command that we have from God. Share the peace of God with all.
You have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.